Well, praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this evening. Amen. Those of us online, welcome. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "He Has Made Me Glad." I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, and we offer up to the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Amen. where'er I be. Still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen. Well, got a couple of pick of hymns before church started this evening. Yeah, so what's that first one? A New Name in Glory, 521. Really close. Yeah. All right. Brother James. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. When the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Amen. And what was that last one? Blessed Assurance on 572. Oh, we're in the 500s this evening. Yeah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, any others this evening? Oh, all right, praise the Lord.
At 9 a.m., whoo, mercy. A lot of people in that post office. I'll take it on down to Pinehurst. Amen. What do we got in the area of praises? You think it goes to North Houston? I was thinking Pinehurst would go somewhere in Conroe. Huh. Okay. Praises. What do we got?
Praise the Lord for our service this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And
all right.
And we have our visitors come back.
Yes.
Right. Amen. That's a blessing. I told them I wanted to fill them back pews up. She said she's going to get some more people to come. I said, okay. Amen.
I'm still waiting on the girl that we did the funeral for her. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my soul.
Yeah, so there were some districts that were in school.
Oh, so they haven't. They switch it up. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Keep working on them.
All right.
John's got one here. What you got, praise God for New Hope Baptist Church, sir. We had two successful events this week. The President's Day Fun Day. We thank you for all those that participated in that.
Yes.
All the way from the floor sweepers to the teachers in charge.
Amen.
And then, of course, we had a very successful Back to It annual fundraiser for the school.
Yeah, man. All right.
And it was great to see all them smiling faces and play with them on the mic. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And that was very successful. Thank you for all the work that was done for that, because I hear the
Amen.
Took them 7 hours to get that set up. So it was
seven hours, and I think they were still cleaning up on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, sir.
It's a big deal. Big deal. She does not know yet. I asked her about that this morning. She does not know. I know the Lee family put in 375. No, 400. Yeah. I was like, what? What?
Yeah, wow.
She goes, well, we got one more kid to go through driving school.
Yeah.
She goes, you can pay $300 for it here or $500 across the street. I said, I'll take $300 here. Thanks for letting it go for $300, Brother John. Amen. Hey. Praise the Lord.
I asked Stephanie, I said, oh, she got her room cleaned up. She said, no, but I'll hold it over her head.
Yeah, now we got something to hold over her head. I will say this, she has been keeping her room a little bit cleaner. Yeah, I think she's figuring out, Dad, don't bend on that rule. You don't clean your room, you don't get behind the wheel of a 2,000-something, 2,500-pound car. Huh? Well, a little bitty car, she's going to be driving about 2,500 pounds. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm about worn out. If I had number five, they would just run all over us, because I am flat worn out from raising kids. Oh, my soul.
Praise the Lord for John.
Doing
that auction, and that's pretty hard little work.
Yeah, it's, man. It's,
you know, so that's a little job. That's not easy.
No, that's a good deal. Good deal. My brother Kenneth, he got his blood work back, and he does not have any kind of sickness or cancer that they know of. So we praise the Lord for that. He's lost 25 pounds, but they don't know. So
wow.
Yeah, he could have lost 25. Yeah, yeah. Kenneth is my youngest and only brother. Yeah, there's two of us, and so Kenneth has not ever been married or had kids, and I've got three girls and one boy, so Trevor is the last Mohican. So, huh? Yeah, I'm praying for about four or five strapping grandsons. No granddaughters, all grandsons. Yeah, I'd take a two-year-old. If I could give it to them, I don't want to raise it. What you got, sis?
I just want to praise that. Wow, that's loud. I want to praise that we planted a lot of fruit trees, and
yeah,
they all appear to be alive after
Amen.
The 17 degrees. And we planted a lot of sweet potatoes, and the deer ate them all, so we didn't think we'd have them. And they're, since they're tropical, we thought they were all dead.
Sweet potatoes are tropical?
That's what I heard.
But I did not
I
know
saw
that.
Little green leaves today.
So you think there's enough of the root left that the deer didn't get that they're going to reproduce?
And they didn't freeze. God has been very good to us. We put
well,
in
I
a
can't,
lot of work,
I,
and it, stuff seems to be...
It's hard to wrap my head around your trees made it. That's great. Yeah, amen. That is a blessing.
And they were fruit trees. I mean, they were citrus. An orange, a grapefruit, and a pomelo. Oh,
wow. Yeah, I had a half a sweet potato today for lunch, man. I put that put the butter on that, the sour cream, and a little bit of cheese. Oh!
Good for you, too.
So when we get our crop in, we'll bring you, like, whatever you're supposed to bring.
I like the small ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do, too.
Yeah, amen. All right, what you got? Yeah. What you got, Greg?
I just want to thank God that my sister finished her last chemo, and so they have said she is 90% free of the cancer. So now what she's got coming up next are the two surgeries. They wanted to space it out in two because the next is a prayer request, so I'll wait for that.
Yeah, okay.
But real quick, it was really neat. So on her last day, and everybody showed up there, you know, it was her last day of chemo, how they do, you know, and they ring the little bell and all that stuff. They were trying to put the stuff in the little port, and it was clogged.
Uh-oh.
And it was clogged. And several hours later, it was clogged. And she's about, you know, in tears because she's so ready, and everybody's there. And they tried every which way, and already was scheduling her to try it again another day. And people started praying. Oh, everybody started praying. People were praying there. And at the last minute, I mean, they said, well, maybe we just might try a longer needle. They tried a longer needle, and boom, they got it going. And it was just a mirror. I mean, because people were there at the hospital praying, and just, you know, it was so neat.
So she's 90%, say that
She's
again?
90% clear.
Clear.
Of the, yeah. And so... I asked her, why can't they say you're 100? And she said, because even though there's probably residue and stuff there.
This is so Rosemary?
Rosemary.
Rosemary.
They don't want to say 100 yet, but she'll get the mastectomy, and Lord willing, it'll all be.
That's going to be scheduled.
That's going to be scheduled. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this now. They want to make sure it's not in the when they go in to do the first part of. They want to make sure they're going to do a biopsy on her lymph nodes.
Yeah.
To make sure it's not there and that it's all gone there. And we're going to pray about that it's not there. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Amen.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Anything else? All right. Prayer requests?
Let's continue to pray for Miss Jackie. She's going to have that surgery within a week.
She's going to have it Wednesday. Yep. Going to have it Wednesday. Yep. You want to pray for that, Brother John?
Yes, sir.
All right,
you bet. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We lift Miss Jackie up and her family, Lord. We know that this procedure is an emotional situation with her also. Being a woman, Lord, we ask that you lift her up, comfort her, Lord, and be with the family. May all the family step up, Lord, in order to assist her during the time that she'll be recovering, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for having her amongst us today. And, Lord, that you maybe bring her into the fold, Lord.
Amen.
And join in our church, Lord. And, Lord, be your will that be done in this situation, Lord, and that whatever is the total problem with her, that, Lord, that this operation will take care of it. and there'd be no adverse effects. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, man. All right. John, make sure people know that's not Jackie.
Your last
right.
Oh, yeah. It's
and Loopy, where, what hospital does she have in this procedure?
I'm not sure, but I do know this. It's a outpatient.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What's Jackie's last name? But it's not Jackie McBride.
That's a day procedure.
It's a friend of Miss Loopy's.
Yeah. All right, other prayer needs. Anybody else?
I do have one.
Okay, and then we'll go to Jessica, and then we'll go back to...
One more thing about Jackie.
Jennifer, sorry. We'll come back to Jennifer.
One more thing about Jackie. She also, she's just dealing with a lot of ailments, but... Also, almost as important, if not more, she has a tumor in her thyroid area.
Oh, my.
And so they are we're trying to figure out what to tackle first, the hysterectomy or this. But anyway, so they're going to do the biopsy on that. So just pray that it's not cancer.
Amen.
And then my cousin, my close first cousin, Alfred Landry, he went to the hospital, cirrhosis of the liver, from alcoholism. It runs on my family.
Right.
On my Louisiana Landry side. And a lot of people died early, including my dad, from that disease. And a lot of his brothers and sisters died early. So he's scared.
Yeah.
I've been witnessing to him and trying to give him, you know, the gospel and talk, keeping up with him. They're trying to, he's back home. He's on the list for a new liver. He's got to stop the drinking, but we know it's going to take the Lord.
Right.
So just pray for his salvation and then that he may be able to get that new liver.
All right. Will you lead us in that prayer?
Yes. Okay. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. Just thank you so much for this time to pray, Father. And just want to lift up Leroy Alford to you, Father, that he, Lord God, you know his heart. You know he's scared, fearful, Lord God, but he's been reading your word. He's been listening, Lord, when been trying to witness to him, Father. I pray that you would... Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd start working his heart, Lord God, and I pray that you would just make it easy for him to just make that turn, Lord God. I pray that you'd touch him, Father. Touch his heart. Show him, Lord God. Give him a clear mind. Help him to accept you, Father. Help him to realize that you are the only way that's going to make a difference in his life, Father, for salvation, for heaven one day. But, Lord, to stop the drinking and all of this, Lord God, he can't do it on his own. We know that. I pray that you would touch his body, but most of all, Father, I pray that you would bring him salvation, Lord
amen.
God. I just love you so much and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, then back to Jennifer, and then we'll get back to Jeremiah.
Mine is for Jessica's spiritual condition.
Amen.
Because of her depression and anxiety. She said back in high school she prayed that God would relieve her. And when he didn't, she rejected him. So now she's saying that she doesn't believe. So I think her spiritual condition is the reason for a lot of
maybe. It. May very well be. Yeah. Will you lead us in that prayer?
Do I have to hold this?
Yeah. You don't have to.
I have to. No.
You just pray.
Okay.
All right. Amen.
She's walking through this path to become something. She's going to be boldly required by Father. And so, Father, I know that you have something for her, and I know that she's going to have more compassion for other people who are going through this. So I ask you, our dear, loving Father, that you will make the wishes known to her, open her heart to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jennifer, for that prayer. All right. What do you got, Jeremiah?
Sharon Heibarger said, please pray. They can figure out what's wrong with Mom's knee. Her pain level is very high and constant, and she's having a hard time standing up.
Okay. Amen. You want to lead us in that prayer, Jeremiah? Thank you. Pray for Miss Vicki.
Yes. Dear Father in heaven, please let the doctors find out what is wrong with Miss Vicki's knee and to heal her up. And please take away her pain, Father, so that she can feel good and can stand up no problem. And we just love you and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any other prayer needs? Amen. James, you want to pray for Miss Vicki's back?
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Dear Heather, Heavenly Father, we just lift up you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for everything you've given us, Lord, and we do give you all the praise and glory. We just love Miss Vicki. Her back is bothering her, Lord, and we just pray that you put a healing touch on her back, Lord, and where she can get rest and sleep, Lord, and she's just a faithful servant here at the church, and she loves to be here tonight, and we know that. And we miss her, Lord, and we just ask you to just be with her and give her rest and sleep. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, what else? Yes, James.
I want to pray for my mom and Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lift it up.
All right, dear Heavenly Father, again, God, I lift up Kevin to you, Lord. We just ask you to help him with his drug addiction, drinking, alcohol, Lord. As we just heard Miss Loopy talk about that, and it's a hard thing. That, you know, they can't do it on their own. They got to.
Right.
Get help and realize that they need help.
That's it.
And that's the first step. But God, I just ask you just to put something just so he can see that he needs that help.
Yes.
And I lift my mother up to you as just to watch over her as she's by herself, living by herself. Just to watch her steps, help her watch her steps, take her time, keep her from falling, and just give her peace and rest and all that she needs, Lord, is give her her spirit to be high and not so low. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, John, you got another one?
Oh, I got a prayer, Brother Lee. It was good to see Larry Holman here this morning.
Yeah, amen.
And his lovely wife.
Yeah, Larry and Ronnie.
He's been gone. It seems like it's been over a year. So.
Right, yeah, Ronnie and Nancy.
It's
amen.
Good to have him here. Yes.
Amen. Amen, amen. All right, anything else? All right, all right. Well, thank you all for the prayer time. Let's get in our Bibles. We're in Leviticus chapter 11. Yeah. Yeah, I'll pray for those. Amen. Let's pray for those unspoken. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together. And at the end of this prayer time, Lord, those with unspokens, perhaps watching online, perhaps those with us here this evening, Lord, this would be an appropriate time to lift those up to you silently. Thank you, God, for hearing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our salvation, Lord. We're thankful for all the great praise reports tonight. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can lay these unspoken requests down at your feet once more. We praise you, Lord, for how you work with us and are for us and not against us. And so, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Leviticus chapter 11, beginning here in verse 24, I invite you to stand in the honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Just going to read a couple verses here, and then when we get to Wednesday, we'll start unpacking more of Leviticus chapter 11. Chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, those of you with us online, chapter 11, verse 24 through 28. You found that this evening, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads, "By these, moreover, you will be made unclean." Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about dietary restrictions, things that are unclean animals. We'll be getting into that as our Bible studies go through. "By these, moreover, you will be made unclean. Whoever touches their carcasses becomes unclean until evening. And whoever picks up any of their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean till evening. Concerning all the animals which divide the hoof but do not make a split hoof or which do not chew cud, they are unclean to you. Whoever touches them becomes unclean. Also, whatever walks on its paws, among all the creatures that walk on all fours are unclean to you. Whoever touches their carcasses becomes unclean until evening. The one who picks up their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean till evening. They are unclean to you." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, before we get on down the road to cleanliness number one, right? Before we get to that, before we go any further, I don't want to leave the priesthood, Leviticus 8 through 10, without making some concluding comments and how it ties in to the first five books of the Bible in general. What are you talking about? Well, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Pentateuch is really a record. Are you ready for this? It's really a record of repeated human failures. You read those first five books of the Bible, and you will find that they contain very few real success stories. Now, let me kind of take you through some of the high points. Very early into the book of Genesis, what happens? Well, Adam and Eve, they sin. Losing the bliss of their sinless state and the joys of living in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it's so good at the beginning, and then, man, before too long, it's over, right? Sin enters the world. In chapter 6, the whole race, chapter 6 of Genesis, the whole human race had to be wiped out due to its sin, except for Noah and his family, right? And so the human failures of the remainder of the book of Genesis far outnumber the successes. And then we come to Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we find the Mosaic covenant broken in chapter 32 before the ink had dried on the agreement with God. I mean, it all went to pot, right? In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, the Israelites fell at Kadesh Barnea, refusing to go into the promised land to face the giants who possess it. Oh, they're so big. Will we not be able to do it, right? In Deuteronomy, Moses fails to enter into the land due to his own personal sin, and thus even the greatest leader the nation has yet known does not enter Canaan. Well, how does that relate to the book of Leviticus? Well, when we get to Leviticus, it has much to say about the priesthood as its name applies, Levites, Leviticus. In chapters 8 through 10, the priesthood is established, and yet at what seems to be the very outset of the priests assuming their duties, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, are struck down by God for their irreverence. Think of it. The very outset of the ministry of this priesthood started with Aaron, two of the highest order of priests. They fail and they pay with their lives. So I repeat to you this evening the entire Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of Moses, is the record of human failure, much more than human success. Which begs the question, doesn't it? It begs the question, what is the purpose of such a record? Well, if you continue to read on in the Bible, you get to the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. He says, now these things happened. Now these things happened to them. He's talking about Old Testament. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Amen? When it comes to the Old Testament, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and of the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Everybody say hope? Hope. In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, 4, right to the church at Rome, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Well, friend, when he's writing Romans and preaching to the Romans, the Scriptures are the Old Testament. You understand that, right? New Testament hadn't been penned yet, right? Or it's been penned, but it hadn't been canonized, right? It hadn't been grafted in as the Word of God that you have now. It was the Word of God, but it hadn't. Nobody's recognizing it really as the Word. It's the Old Testament at that point. Well, in these two texts, 1 Corinthians and Romans, both penned by the Apostle Paul, we learn that the Old Testament scriptures, which report the stories of human failure and tragedy, are given to us to warn us of our fallibility and to caution us not to be overconfident. Amen? At the same time, these Old Testament passages also give us hope. Yes? Now, it's not difficult to see how reports of human failure would caution the Christian not to be too self-confident, but how can they produce hope at the same time? You may be wondering to yourself. The answer to this is very clear in the Bible, and it is the one that is consistently taught. In other words, the answer is the essence of the gospel. It's the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we come to the point that we see that we cannot trust in ourselves, then we must turn to God alone for deliverance. Amen? That really is the issue. Thus, human hopelessness is the basis for biblical hope. Over and over in the Bible, God brought people to the end of themselves. We're praying for your son as he deals with his addiction. He will not be able to conquer his addiction until he gets to the end of himself, right? We're praying for your daughter that she would have a breakthrough emotionally and spiritually. It will not happen till she gets to the end of herself. Your family member struggling with alcohol, he must get to the end of himself, right? And then he can what? He can see the hope of God and allow that to work in his life. Amen? Over and over in the Bible, God brought people to the end of themselves so that in their weakness, they might find God sufficient. I think when each of us are saved, when each of us fall into the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, when each of us are squeezed and we come face to face with the fact that we are sinners destined to a place called hell, we've gotten to the end. There's no other place to go. And then we must make the decision to deny the gospel or receive it, right? And praise God, we've received it. Amen. Praise the Lord. When all human hope is lost, people still have the promises of God backed by His Word and backed by His power and backed by His character. So in comparison, I think this is where a lot of people struggle because they don't see the difference. They should see the difference. I want us to differentiate tonight the hope that God offers and the hope the world offers. See, the critical difference between the hope which the world offers me and the true hope which God offers me is summed up this way. The world's hope is a counterfeit hope. You see that? It's counterfeit. It's only a delusion. An illusion, if you will. Whereas God's hope is certain. For example, Hebrews chapter 11. It focuses on the biblical hope, which sustained the men and women of faith in the Old Testament times, especially when all human hope was lost. Look at the heroes of faith. They all faced a crisis. They all got to the end. They could only turn to God. Praise God, they did turn to God. But they got to the end. That's the only place they could turn. The world's hope differs from God's hope in the way it is spelled. You say, how so? God's hope is spelled in caps and in bold, H-O-P-E, which spells hope. Amen? The world's hope is spelled H-Y-P-E. P-E, hype. You know the difference, don't you? Hype and hope. Hype is further fueled. Hype is furthered and fueled by success, while hope is promoted by failure. Hype is confident of what men can do. Hope, on the other hand, is confident in God, not men. He'll always make a way. God can make a way. Not me. God. God can make a way. The sad reality, and my personal opinion, my humble opinion, is that the church, not this one, but the church in general, has all too often exchanged its hope for the hype. You hearing me tonight? We think that success stories build the hope of Christians, but the Bible suggests otherwise. Those who are sick are the ones who turn to someone else for healing. Read your New Testament Gospels. The afflicted, they turn to our Lord over and over again in the Gospels. It is those who are sinners who look for salvation in someone outside of themselves. You see it? You see, when we as Christians view our hope as being synonymous and signaled by our successes, we have switched to hype, not hope. And the tragedy is, more so in the health, wealth, prosperity movement, but it sneaks in the Baptist church every now and then. The tragedy is that those who are afflicted and are suffering, you know what they are told, or at least it's strongly implied or it's inferred in communication to them, you know what they are told? They are told that they do not have enough faith. That's what they're told. When it's these very trials, it's the very setback, it's the very sickness, it's the very negative circumstance which God has allowed to happen to us, perhaps given to us to teach us something. You know what he's trying to do? Strengthen our faith. He's trying to get us down that road far enough that it's not us no longer. It's him. God, I'm at the end. I can't go on no more. You know what Jesus says? Hop on in these arms. I'm going to carry you now. Get up on in here. We're still going. I'm just going to carry you a while now. Amen and amen? That's what we're talking about, friend. That's what we're talking about. The failures, where am I at? I got off on a tangent there. Don't lose hope, preacher. It is those who are sinners who look for salvation in someone outside of themselves. You see, when we as Christians view our hope as being synonymous and signaled by our successes, we have switched to what? To hype and not hope. And so when we get to I'm going to back up here. The tragedy is that those who are afflicted and suffering, what are they told? They're told they don't have a what? Enough faith. And so when it's these very trials which God has given to strengthen our faith, just as he gave to those who are listed in the hall of faith. I refer back to Hebrews chapter 11. So the failures of the priesthood, how it ties in with Leviticus chapter 11. The failures of the priesthood of Aaron caused men and women of faith to look to God for what? A better high priest and a better priesthood. The Old Testament priesthood failures instructed the saints of old not to put their trust in men, but in God. And every failure which is to be found in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the book of Moses, and in all of the Bible for that matter, is recorded to cause us to distrust ourselves and to place our trust more fully in God, who is the one worthy of our trust. Does that make sense? So may God grant us, may He grant that we, like the Israelites of old, learn from the failures of the old institutions that God always has a better way. May God grant us to see and to believe that the better way has been finished by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is all sufficient and who is worthy of all of our hope and trust. Those are my concluding comments on the priesthood, which brings me to Leviticus chapter 11. Amen? Which this chapter is dealing with the subject of cleanliness and uncleanliness. You got it? Specifically with the subject of clean and unclean foods. Now, the word clean, church, has a lot of different meanings, doesn't it? The word clean, depending upon the context in which it is used. Now, let's go through a few of them. For example, in the operating room, things must be clean when you go in there to be butchered on, right? And that has a very rigid and strict interpretation. They put those tools through a radiation machine to kill each and every living thing that might possibly want to grow on those instruments that they're going to put inside your body, right? They want that place, they want the surfaces, they want the tools, they want everything to be as free as possible from all germs and contamination. When I've been cut on, the pre-op, they give me a bottle of special soap to bathe the morning of. You mean I can't? You know you cannot use the soap you use. The soap you use, that bar soap's got all kinds of bacteria on it. Don't be putting that on your body. You get ready to come up in this hospital, you're going to use this special soap. I am. You are. Okay. Amen. In the electronics plant, where silicone crystals are grown, and they've got them little microscopes, and they're putting them chips together that we were so short of for so long, and drove up the prices of everything, right? The clean room where all that happens, people got on special wear, and they're breathing through special filters. And I mean, there's hardly any contamination at all. That place is clean. Amen? Now, the restaurants in which you and I eat are supposed to be clean, especially the kitchen. But that's not always true. Remember the guy, what was his name? Thank you. Marv, slime in the ice machine. Hey, man, you. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Somebody needs to pick that mantle up again, man, and hold these restaurants accountable. There is a story of the couple going out on their first date, and the young man was taking this girl out for the first time, and as they waited for their table in the restaurant, they were in a boothed area where people would wait to be called for their table. And the young man noticed a very large roach crawling up the booth-style seating area right beside his date. Well, he thought to himself, now shall I tell her and ruin the whole night? Or shall I not tell her and hope the roach just walks away? He decided not to tell her, and the roach went on its way and continued up over the booth and then down the other side. Well, when the young man got to the cashier after the dinner, he said as quietly as he could, he said, you all have a real roach infestation here. We had a trophy-sized roach in the waiting area, right over there, before we were seated. Well, not at all taken back by the comment, the cashier replied, oh, that's nothing. You should see the size of them in the kitchen. You could put saddles on them and ride them. Amen? Right? That's the way it is. Clean and unclean. That can be a matter of great importance to us. But it is also a matter of differing definitions. In third world countries, clean means, when you're in the third world, Clean means free of large clumps of contamination, right? There can be trash all over the place, but if it's placed nice and neatly and you can navigate your little beat-up car or your little ricochet, then it's clean, right? Now, in our children's bedrooms or grandchildren's bedrooms, clean has a definition which means that everything's been kicked into a general pile, and if given enough time, they can find what they left in that pile, right? That's clean for a lot of kids. Well, it's clean, right? I've got a 4-foot pile of stuff over here, but it's clean, right? Clean means something different when we come to the definition of clean versus unclean in Leviticus. And it's important for us to understand the meaning of clean and unclean as it's used in the Old Testament and its application for us in the New Testament. And so that's your 30-second introduction to Leviticus chapter 11. Amen? Let's pray it out. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can finish out and talk about hope and hype and talk about how you use failure in our lives, Lord, to further that gospel ball. And, Lord, we're thankful as we get ready to begin a new Bible study set here in Leviticus 11. We pray you lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. Help us navigate the clean and the unclean and get the application that we need to get as New Testament Christians. Give us a good week this week. May we be about sowing the seeds of the gospel. Lord, may we be about pointing people to Jesus. Lord, help us when we come to the crossroads of choosing our flesh or choosing the way of the Spirit. May we choose the way of the Spirit. Thank you for all you do for us. We love you tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Online folks, we'll see you next time.